Today I'm going to talk about this MSSM light Higgs scenario and its test at the collider. And this is in collaboration with all these young people here, and Qinhong now is in the conference. And Shinya Kamura, Sasha Balav, they just recently got a faculty position. And the Kazuhiro Tobe also got the faculty position. So this work, in fact, was even reported at the Science News. It was the editor was got interested into it, so report on this work with it, and that's why I want to show you about it. The upshot of this is to say that the lab 2 has not yet excluded the light Higgs mass, the CP even Higgs mass, lighter than the Z boson mass. And this is the bound from lab 2 for the research for standard model. We already heard about it. And of course, in the supersymmetry, there are these additional production channels that can further constrain the parameter space in the MSSM. And that's what we all know about it. And we know that the in the MSSM, if because this coupling is a two-histogram model, so that bound on the light Higgs mass will be looser than the standard model bound. But this very important point to point out in here is the following, that we heard about the lab collaboration. They published their results on the constraint on the lightest Higgs boson mass, but really what they did was they only for some benchmark scenario that they analyze it. And so that's very important. When we ask the question, what's the limit on the lighter CP even Higgs boson at the in the MSSM, then we have to re-examine these by asking the question, other than this, for example, this set of benchmark scenario that's been asked, look at it carefully by the experimental group at lab. So that's what we ask the question, what's the MSSM Higgs mass limit in the most general MSSM parameter space? And here I will only concentrate on this CP conserving case. And if it's a CP violating, then of course that is quite trivial to make the lightest Higgs boson to be light, because if it's most of that is a CP odd, then that can escape the constraint. So here what we look at is the usual MSSM. It's a CP conserving in the Higgs sector. Now, for that, let's look at the Higgs boson in the MSSM. There are two Higgs doublet, and the quartic coupling, of course, is governed by this gauge coupling. So at tree level, we know that the mass of the lighter Higgs boson is sort of over order G times V. And given that Higgs sector, then there's a CPR scalar and charge scalar. So this is a relation I'm going to refer to later on, that the charge Higgs mass is related to the CPR Higgs boson mass, is MW. So that means that if we know about the MA, then there's this tree-level relation, then we know about the M charge Higgs in the MSSM. And at the beyond the tree-level loop level, in fact, this relation also holds very well to the better than 10% for the most of the parameter space. And there's a CP even the scalar, there are two of those. And again, to refer notation in here, there are these two. Of course, tangent beta has defined to be these H2 over H1, and H2 is the one that coupled to the up-type quark, let's say top quark, right? So that the alpha is the mixing, defined the mixing between those two Higgs doublet. And so, for example, when tangent beta is large and MA is much larger than MZ, then these, the lighter Higgs boson is this eta 2. That means it's the one that coupled to the up-type quark, then coupled to the top, right? So that's the point, MA much larger than MZ, and that's the kind of half. So we say that at tree level, this is the lightest Higgs mass less than MZ, but in the early 90s, then many people have done important work, including many of people here, that to point out that loop corrections to the Higgs mass are very important. And this loop correction to the quartic Higgs coupling, and you see that they receive a large correction from the top and the stop loop distribution. So in this way, to avoid the lab constraint, namely that even at lab two, it produces the Higgs boson, since with this very large loop correction in raising up the mass of the Higgs boson, therefore that still, the fact that the lab two has not yet observed this Higgs boson signature and still consistent with the MSSM. So that's one way to avoid this lab constraint. So this is usually done in the what we call decoupling scenario, meaning that MA is much larger than MZ. And as I already pointed out, that in that case, say suppose let's consider a large tangent beta. So this the H2 is much larger than H1. Again, H2 is the one coupled to the up-type quark. And the coupling of this ZZH is almost like a standard model like. So therefore, when MA is much larger than MZ, that's in the decoupling limit. This lighter guy is like this eta 2. And then the coupling of this lighter guy to the Z boson is pretty much like standard model Higgs boson to Z boson coupling. And therefore, that the standard model Higgs boson limit can be applied. And that's in the decoupling limit. But what if that let's not look at that limit. Instead, let's look at the MA is over the MZ. Then what happened? Again, let's go back to this matrix in here. As you can see that this right-hand side is the one that decoupling limit is the MA is much larger than MZ. And this H, the lattice guy, is this eta 2. And in that case, you look at this mass spectrum here, at tree level, this is the MH, the lighter guy is over MZ, less than MZ, in fact, and receive a large loop correction to raise this up to a larger mass for this lighter CP even Higgs boson, because that's most of it is eta 2. So that's a decoupling scenario. But if you look at this, when this MA is over all the MZ, now than MZ, and when the large tangent beta, then what happened is it can be like this pattern here. So it's MA is over all the MZ, but it's the one that eta 2, because this is the one that coupled to the top quark. It's that one received a large radiative correction. So this one raised this mass up, and just the same radial correction that raised the mass of these tree-level mass of this light CP guy up to say 100 or 115 GeV, and similarly that for this one, it will raise this up by that amount. However, in this case, the lighter guy is this guy, it's not that guy. So the lighter one is the one that is eta 1. Yeah. So that's the difference between these two different regions of the Promis space. So this is really the main cause of this lighter Higgs boson scenario, the light Higgs boson scenario in the MSSM. So it's summarizing here in terms of coupling, as you can see, that if it's in the, what we call non-decoupling limit, namely that MA is not much larger than MZ. So MA is of order MZ, then again, we have, look again, tangent beta large, so this is much larger than that. In that case, this H1 is the one that lighter guy is most of these made of most by this H1, you see this coupling to the Z boson is much smaller than the coupling of the standard model Higgs boson to the Z boson. Therefore, in that scenario, the coupling of this Higgs boson to Z boson is largely suppressed. So this, therefore, provide another way to avoid the lab 2 constraint. I mean, by this, then you really suppress the coupling of the ZZH. Therefore, you suppress the production rate. So that's what we're saying here. This coupling, as we say that we suppress this ZZH coupling, therefore we suppress that. But as well known that at lab two, there's this another process, this entry process, meaning if this guy, you suppress that coupling because it goes like sine beta mass alpha, then has to be tense. Well, of course, it's less than one, but it's become large. So therefore, this is a social production of the two Higgs bosons. So this will be large. So in order to be consistent with lab data, just suppressing this is not enough. Because suppressing this coupling, it will make this spread large, and since this MA is over the MZ, so again, all these mass are light. Therefore, that again, it will contradict with the left data, unless you further reduce the branching ratio. Because that's a very important point, that when lab observe, it's not observing just the production of these H and A. It's also, they also have to multiply these branching ratios because this final state that have been detected. So one way to do it is to suppress these branching ratio of these scalars, these H and A, into, let's say, BV bar mode. So that's what I we call this guy, I call this MSSM light Higgs scenario. Let me again emphasize that the psi beta minus alpha is small in this non-decoupled limit. So that means that this Higgs boson, lighter Higgs boson mass is lighter than the Z boson mass. And that's what we call the light Higgs scenario in here. Now, of course, if you reduce the branch ratio of the BV bar, then the branch ratio of a tau has to be enhanced, right? Because the sum that make up is one, because it's a branch ratio. So if you suppress the branch ratio, if you suppress branch ratio to BV, then tau has to increase. But yet the lab already, they have looked into these different final state channels, like 4Bs or BB tau tau for tau. So we have to look into the prediction of these MSSM and compare them with the data. And so what we did was that we used CP Super H program to scan these parameter space of supersymmetry and look at the constraint provided by the lab data from the ZH and the AH channels came to the BB or tau mode, and also that we impose a constraint on the direct search of the supersymmetric particles, and also some theoretical constraint on the consistency of the model and the delta rho constraint. So with that, then we scan through this parameter space and try to find out whether there's a solution for this light Higgs boson. And in the solution is described by these green colors in this plot, right? So this, I'm not expecting you to read all this detail, but the point is that, for example, this is the branch ratio of the E being region is the region consistent with the light Higgs scenario. You see that the Higgs boson mass can be as light as 60 GeV, and the suppression of the branch ratio instead of say 0.95, close to one, and now it's reduced to somewhere around 0.6. So it's with that kind of reduction, and that's already sufficient to be consistent with the lab data, right? So that's the branching ratio. Another thing you see is that in the light Higgs mass scenario, again, indeed, this tenuum beta, so tenuum beta prefer to be large if you really go to a very small MH. And because the MA is over the MZ, so as you can see that, for example, the charged Higgs mass is over order, say, 140 GeV, for example, if you look into this, again, light Higgs mass region. Because again, that all the Higgs boson had to be light because it's given by the scale MA. And M charged Higgs mass square is equal to MA square plus MW square. Yes, that's right, that's the reason why. Yes, absolutely, yes. Thank you for pointing out. Yes, this is what is what we call non-universal radiator correction. So it has the loop correction encoded. And this code, in fact, also has some higher than the one loop correction being encoded in there. And so this one simple point to point out to you that yes, like this, AH4B channel, and that will be that the sample point live here, and then this will be the ZH, that sample point is living there. If I look at the all these green region, and that plotting, put in this plot, and that region, and that region, that correspond to the allowed region I show you in the previous plot there. So that's the first part important message is to say that when we probe the MSSM, usually, you see, it's a common belief that the lightest CP, even Higgs boson, has to be heavier than the 90 GeV. So if you talk to any experimentalists, and they will tell you, well, the smaller than 90 GeV has been excluded already by lab. But our point is that that's not true. And it would be a pity, and it's a mistake, for the experimentalists at, for example, Tevatron, now it's running, to ignore that region when they did the study to probe or to find, to search these CP even Higgs. And later on we'll refer to a figure to show you that is indeed the case. They simply ignore the primary space region that's smaller than 90 GeV when they look at the signature of this search, when they are in the search of this light CP even Higgs boson. Or to reduce the boundary ratio? Ah, yes. Right, so in here, we need to reduce this boundary ratio of the Higgs to BB. And usually that comes from the region that there's a large A. This, you see this A is the trilinear scalar coupling, and mu is also large. So usually it's in that kind of parameter space, because it said when in the one in the loop, there's a stop loop, charging loop. Oh, it is, it is. I'm not saying that this is, that's correct, yes. The amount of fine tune is pretty much like the usual MSSM case. This does not solve any fine tuning problem at all. No, it's not. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry? Guidon mass is we probe in this region, we scan through the whole region of this entry. Yeah. We impose the bound in here, 270 in here. That's right. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes. Well, yeah, the reason, we did look at all that, all encoded, but the reason is that because the detection efficiency is not as high as the BB channel, yeah. So of course, in principle, we have been talking to the experimenters lab, ask them whether they can go back to reanalyze these by combining all these BB and Tala channel together. But apparently, you know, probably obvious that no one is going to do it. But that's just based on the data. That's what we have. So this is just proof that there's this light Higgs scenario still allowed. But let me make a remind here, we are not the first to point this out. In fact, the Goldie and his collaborator already pointed out that there's a possibility of having this light Higgs scenario, but we just look into more detail to explore. Oh, it's depending on the sampling, the way we do the Monte Carlo. Yeah. All right, so now, here turn to the main point I want to talk about today, because that's related to the LHC physics. The question then is how to test this light Higgs scenario at a Hadron Collider and Tevatron. So this is standard model Higgs production channel, Google fusion, W fusion, and social production W, and this associated potential TT and B bar. And so, of course, we have already seen these in the past few days already. So this production rate at the LHC, again, we are talking about the light Higgs. Remember, in this light Higgs scenario, all the Higgs bosons, they are light. Light means somewhere around less than 150, 140, that kind of light, yeah, light region. So it's somewhere around this region, that's what we care about. And then you see it's done by Google fusion and the W fusion and the social production of the W Higgs and so forth and so on. Yeah. So that's what if you ask how to produce this lighter CP even Higgs boson, then you ask that question, you'll find out. You see, the way we make it consistent to lab 2 data is to suppress this coupling. So the Higgs coupling to the W and Z, they are suppressed, because that's how we avoid the lab 2 constraint. So this coupling is suppressed, that coupling is suppressed, So as you can see that this W fusion process and the social production process, they are all suppressed. But in fact, for the gluon fusion process, although the production process, there's no suppression, but the decay branch ratio of the histo gamma is suppressed by order of magnitude once you carry out all this calculation. So therefore that the standard processes, the standard process of searching for or looking for these lighter samples, they're just simply not doable. So then what do you do? So here comes something that is very important, is that the sum rule we have been talking about that used in the lab experiment is looking at the ZZH and the ZHA. Yeah, so that's this go like sine, that go like cosine. But in another set of sum rule that was not widely noted, although it's written in the literature. So this is another set of sum rule. As you can see, this charge coupling. This all go like sine and cosine. So once we make this small, this quagga has been large. All right? So that, you see, why these two are useful for the lab environment, these are really processes that's relevant to the hadron collider, such as Tevatron and LHC. Yeah, so that's one. And in fact, there's one more, even more interesting thing is this coupling. The WHA coupling, again, we're talking about the CP conserving MSSM model, in which that this coupling is completely determined by the gauge structure. So as soon as the gauge is interaction, then this coupling is just one. So there's no SUSY parameter in there. There's no SUSY parameter in the coupling. So this is very different from this type of coupling here. This coupling has the beta and alpha in there. So it depends on the SUSY parameters, but this coupling doesn't. It's simply one. So that makes this a very powerful test to test the MSSM. So you see that this kind of coupling, because if it's AA, this coupling is just one. If it's this H in here, this coupling is like cosine beta minus alpha. Then in this case, since the sine beta minus alpha is small, so this coupling again is approached to one. So again, all these large coupling in here. So one can do a calculation for the LHC, for this social production, for example, this A and the charge Higgs, and for light A at the order of the 100 GeV or so, and you can see that a few hundred central band cross-section at the LHC. In fact, a couple years ago, when I first talked to Goldie about this, and I said, well, you know, Higgs Hunter's guy, after all, missed this process. And then Goldie was saying that, well, it should have been encoded. But this indeed is the process. Presumably, no one has looked at it in detail. It was because it's not inside the Bible, meaning the Higgs Hunter's guy. And today, my purpose, I've been giving this talk quite often, and the purpose is to ask our experimental colleagues to do a real simulation on this process, but it has never been done. So let me show you the study we did at the Patton level and what we believe that this to what extent this could be useful. So that's what I'm going to show you is the looking at this social production of these charged Higgs and this A or little h. And let's just take the one example. Again, this is just doing the example to illustrate that this can be done. Say the charge Higgs decay to tau nu, and let's say this A decay to BB bar. And then one then can ask that can this signal be seen at LHC, for example. All right, so again, if I look in this A, as I said, that its recoupling really is one because it's fixed by the gauge structure of the theory, and also, the mass relation between these charged Higgs and the A. So although the final state, there are two particles, but really only relate to one mass, MA. And suppose this channel is BB bar, then one can take this as a scanning the environment of the BB bar, and that will tell you what's the MA. Therefore, one can describe all this production rate as just a function of MA itself. And so you see that to the zeroth order, it's really independent of tangent beta. of course, that at one loop, the tangent beta will come in. So we look at that. We also look into the one loop crash into these couplings, and small. Small meaning that compared to the mass resolution of the BB bar, and you can simply safely ignore that from one in terms of coupling. So we look at the a particular mole. Let's say just look at one decay mole, the tau, go to the pi nu, and then we study all the standard model background, and the strategy of this analysis is very simple, because we don't want to make a very complicated selection, just want to make a very simple selection. First, the veto, no jet, and the lepton in the central region. Impose this basic cut, very simple basic cut. And by noting that there's something very interesting about this, the pion momentum, in this case, is the pion from the tau decay. The average pion momentum in a single event is larger than the background process. Again, this could be understood by this polarization effect. Because in this case, is that the signal process for the charge Higgs to tau nu, then this tau is left-handed polarized. And you know it's left-handed. But in the background process, it's mainly come from W decay to tau nu. In that case, it's right-handed polarized tau. So because the polarization of the tau particle that generated different kinematics. So you see that this left-handed tau plus and this right-hand tau plus, in this case, that the pion is harder than that case. So using the fact that the position of tau are different in the signal and the background, one then can separate this signal from the background. Let me discriminate them. And so that's the point we make. And then the study had been done, and then we show that at the Tevatron, as a function of these M Higgs. This M Higgs again is somewhere on this plot. You show this it can go down to 60 GeV all the way up to somewhere on the MZ. That's what we are interested in. This light Higgs scenario, and this Tevatron indeed can also get some information if one does this study. But of course, this is just pattern level study. And the more detail, of course, certainly need to be done, and we did not do it. I'm just saying that this should be done. But if this is upcoming, this is not look at all, so it should be done to really say, promote about this and also the usual MSSM, even not in the light Higgs scenario, because as I said, this coupling of these H plus one, and it doesn't care about what the A mass is. It's the same strength. So what can we learn from studying this AH production process? You see, this is a kind of typical, okay, this is outdated, but typical kind of plot that you will see is it's a function of MA and tangent beta, depending on what kind of mode, and it will be, you'll get a different kind of information. But we will ask, is it possible to find a process that you really learn something without making this kind of between, let's say, MA and tangent beta. And this is the process, indeed, if you look at the charge Higgs and A associated production, because it's independent tangent beta. If you scan through your data and up GV MA, and you don't find anything, then you know that you can exclude the whole region just vertically without relying on any assumption. So the LGC, in fact, as I showed in the previous slide, that it's really sensitive to the harmonic space of this light Higgs scenario. The reason for that, again, because in this particular case, all the scalars, they have to be light. Light means that lighter than somewhere around 150 GeV to 200 GeV. The LGC can really cover the whole space of this light Higgs scenario. And this is the only one, in fact, I know about it in the MSSM model. You can say something very definite. If you find it and you don't, if you search for it and you don't find it, then you say this scenario is excluded for sure. Yeah, there's no other room for it because these Higgs bosons, they have to be light. And particularly this coupling of HA and W is one. There's no SUSY parameter you can tune about it. So if you don't find it, then you exclude it. Right. There are also other processes which are enhanced by tangent beta and a Tevatron and LHC, which will become important, right? For example, this H tau tau, we heard about it, and also the associated production of HBB, or even the top quad decay to the BN charge Higgs. Remember, the charge Higgs mass is over the 150 and 140, that kind. So again, these are all important and to be looked at Tevatron and the LHC to probe these light Higgs scenario model. This is the slide I referred to earlier. You see, this is the study, the CDF group, around two, with one infraspinal bound. So they look at the MSM Higgs boson to tau surge. And you see that cutout in here, 90 GeV. And again, that's because the general belief that LAP2 already excludes the lightest CP even Higgs boson mass below MZ. So the importance of this paper to show that that's not true. And also, most importantly to me, really, is to the experimental community that they should take advantage of their data to extend the search down to MH, because then you really provide new information, additional information to this MSSM model itself. And certainly that for the then one should extend that to explore the whole region. So, this is the conclusion slide, saying that this light Higgs scenario is for the Higgs boson, CP lighter than MZ, still is allowed by the lab data, and that's what we call light Higgs scenario. And to test this light Higgs scenario at the LHC and the Tevatron, the Hadron Collider, complementary to the lab tool, is to look at this charge current channel, namely it's the W plus that go to the H plus A and H plus H. To search for that, and the dynamic scenario really can be completely covered by this LHC. So LHC really can say something definite about this light Higgs scenario. But of course, today I only talked about this because of time. I only talked about Tevatron and LHC, but the B factory could also further constrain this parameter of the light Higgs scenario. I have some backup slide here, so if you ask me within the next 10 or 15 minutes, then I'll show that. All right, thank you.
You showed very close to the end. Keep going back. I'll just leave that there. The curve TT on the left there, TT to the charge Higgs B.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that enough to rule out the light Higgs scenario if you achieve that curve alone?
Yeah, we look at that at the current data. It's still.
Well, no, not with current data, but at LHC. I mean, the question is, what's going to be easier? What's the first thing that LHC is going to be able to do? So my question to you is just looking for top quarks to charge Higgs B.
Right.
Is that the simpler search for LHC to do to rule out your region compared to HA, or is it about equally difficult, or what's your feeling?
I don't know the answer, yes.
Because as you said, the charge Higgs has to be less than about 140 or something in your scenario.
Right.
And they can have a hell of a lot of top quarks decaying into charge Higgs at the LHC.
That's right.
So,
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's the reason we point out that there's additional processes.
I have a related question. What is the smallest branching ratio for top the charged Higgs B that occurs in your light Higgs scenario?
Right. We did look into that. So this is the mass of the charged Higgs. So you see, if you really go to light Higgs, Higgs boson, very light, so it's really confined in this very tiny region of the M charged Higgs. It's not that it's the charged Higgs will be much lighter. So you see, if the MH is close to MZ, you have a large range of this charged Higgs mass. But when it's approached to these, say, 60 GeV or so, then this charge Higgs mass range is very tightly confined, around 140.
But I'm still wondering about the branching ratio. Is the, in order to get inside this green zone, the top charged Higgs,
right,
the branching ratio would be, what, bigger than 0.5 always, or what number would you give me there?
I don't remember. We look at that.
Because if it's some number like bigger than 0.5 or bigger than 0.4, after another year or so of Tevatron operation, they'll see it.
Right, right.
Right now, as you say, the constraints are very weak on the charged Higgs component to the top decay, but it's close to being useful.
Yes, I agree. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes. Actually, it's a continuation of Jack's question.
Very good.
Because how light can your light Higgs be, the small edge?
The light Higgs, as I said, depends on these light CPM Higgs boson.
Yeah.
If it's closer to MZ, then it can be as light as somewhere around, say, 130 GeV. But if it's as light as 60 GeV, then it's somewhere around 140 GeV.
I didn't mean for the H+. My question was for the small edge. So you're saying that
small edge.
The reason I'm asking is the following, that if the T goes to BH+, with a sufficient branching ratio, then if there is enough mass, you would actually produce the light Higgs in the decay of H+. Depends on, that's why I asked you the mass.
Oh, you mean that?
Because then you will produce it through the strong rate of the top production.
Right.
See, you are producing your H, small h A, through the W production.
Right.
So which means you are producing the W at the electroweak rate, and then you are producing your, using the large coupling, WH, A coupling, to produce your small h.
Right.
Now I'm saying the other way around.
Yes.
Can you use that large H plus W small h coupling to produce it in the H plus decay?
Yeah.
But provided you have phase space, and I don't know how much phase space you
have. That's right. We look at that. It doesn't happen, the mass, because these Higgs are light. So the charged Higgs in the primary space we look at, it does not decay into the
Questions?
Anyone want to know about B factory? I have some slides.
Okay, you have 2 more minutes.
All right. So in that, thank you. So let me show you the B. Even if you don't want to know. Bill, this is a question about the B physics constraint. And it is quite true that B physics data is already very important. Because all this guy light. So if this guy light, then you see that it can strongly modify this B decay to mu nil. And also B to tau nil, and B to S gamma, and delta MS. So, for example, one of such examples is the B to mu mu, because this is the one that set a stronger constraint to this light Higgs scenario. Because this guy goes like a tangent beta to 6th power. So it's pretty much cut out this large tangent beta region if you really take the data seriously. But it's not the metal data itself, it's really the matter of the assumption on this favor sector of the MSSM model. So this result is based on the assumption, the scenario, that it's a minimal favor violation. You assume that the favor physics only occur through the CKM and nothing else. Yeah. But of course, as you know, that most often that we study the rich favor dynamics in the say squat sector. In that case, then this bound can be evaded. So that's the point I want to make. And we also look at B to tau nu. So if you really take the minimal favor violation scenario, then this is what happened. Is that the for the light CPM Higgs boson lighter than 80 GeV, then it's excluded by the B physics data already. In this region, about somewhere around even to 90 GeV, that still is allowed by the this light Higgs scenario. So basically, those are the slides I want to add. Yes, right. So that's no. This B to S gamma is the just one loop calculation of B to S gamma. Yeah. Oh, charginal mass is again is the at the V scale, 100 GeV scale. Yeah, right.
Okay, let's thank both the speakers and right. Come back at 4 o'clock.
Thank you.